Going to go along with these scriptures of what we're going to deal with today, because in some circles that we don't necessarily subscribe to in religion, this is called the Eucharist. But that word is not a bad word; it is a biblical word. This thanksgiving to God, this time of recognizing and appreciating what He's done for us through forgiveness. In the Old Testament, there was forgiveness. It wasn't in the dispensation that we know it, the consummation of it all, in the New Testament. Amen. But there was a blood sacrifice system in the Old Testament. Can you say amen? Amen. And that was a type and foreshadow of what we're going to celebrate here today in just a little while in Holy Communion. But even back in that day, not only was there a sin offering, after the sin offering, there was another requisite offering that wasn't required in the sense of a set time for it. In other words, I sinned, I take my sin offering to the Lord, or at a certain time of year, I take my sin offering to the Lord. It was something that was done freely. It was done randomly. You could do this any time that you wanted to do it. And that was what was different. It was set apart from all the other type of offerings in the Old Testament. And it's called the peace offering. Everybody say the peace offering. And the peace offering was literally a thank offering. It was an offering that was brought out of gratitude for having your sins forgiven. It wasn't an offering to make peace with God. It was an offering in gratitude for having made peace with God. The fact that God would actually forgive you your sin. You know what David said in Psalm 32? He said, "Blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven, whose transgression is covered." That word blessed means happy, to be envied. Well, those people would bring a peace offering. They would say, "I am so filled with gratitude that I didn't get what I deserve. Yeah. That God gave me mercy. When I brought my sin offering, God forgave my sin. And I'm so filled with gratitude, I want to bring Him a thank offering." Yeah. Amen. A thank offering in the Old Covenant could be given at any time. It wasn't prescribed by God. It was something that had to be freely offered from a grateful heart. But one thing God did demand to qualify any offering, and that is a grateful heart. You lose your grateful heart, you become a murmurer and a complainer. Then you say amen. You lose your grateful heart, you're going to lose the first love. They go hand in hand. You can't be filled with thanks to the Lord and not love Him for what He's done for you. But when you begin to lose gratefulness, you lose thankfulness. And you lose that first bright, brimming, burning love for God. Amen? And when you lose that, then everything's ritualistic. Everything's just religious. And when it becomes ritualistic, even though you're doing the right thing, amen, God looks past what you're doing, even though it's right, and He looks at the attitude that you're doing it with. Amen. The Bible said if we be willing and obey, everybody say willing. Willing. If we be willing. Remember little Johnny in school, you know, that he was so acting up that the teacher told him, said, "Johnny, I want you to go and stand in that corner until you learn to be respectful and obedient." And he goes and puts his nose in the corner, just like the teacher told him. I wish I had teachers like that. They used to whoop me. They didn't ask me to. That would have been simple. Go stand in the corner. Can you say amen? They laid it on me. Dr. Spock hadn't written any of his books or anything like that about how to raise children. So they did it old school. Everybody say old school. Amen. I did wrong. I got it in the end. Can you say amen? I always got it in the end. Amen. So that's how they did me. But little Johnny would go stand in the corner, and he would put his nose in the corner and stand like this, and he would say under his breath so the teacher couldn't hear it, "I'm standing up on the outside, but I'm sitting down on the inside." Can you say amen? In other words, I'm still defiant. I'm still rebellious. I may be standing up on the outside, but I'm sitting down on the inside. Well, you see, God knows that even if we don't say it. Yes, He does. He said obedience without a thankful heart will bring just duty and ritual. If it comes from a thankful heart filled with gratitude, it is acceptable obedience. Obedience in and of itself is not acceptable to God unless the heart is directly attached to it. The Bible said if any man give, that's why even in the giving part of this sermon, we're not just talking about giving in an offering, we're talking about giving yourself. There's a scripture that God asks us to give the whole of our being, all that we are and all that we have unto Him. Amen. Based on what He has done for us, and to express distinctly gratitude, not just out of duty, but out of gratitude. You say, Brother Bimble, I'm not a millionaire. Hey, join the crowd. Brother Venable, I don't look like Brad Pitt. Hey, I don't look much like him either. Can you say amen? I fall a little short. I'm not like Angelina Jolie. I'm not like, who is out there? I don't know who's out there anymore. I don't pay that much attention to them. Amen. I got my beauty right here. Amen. I don't have to pick up People magazine or Us. Amen. I just, Pamela's my, she's the joy of my life. Praise God. I tell you, all these beautiful faces out there, don't let that fool you. If they're not pretty on the inside, amen. A lot of people married a personality, ended up living with a character. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Got what they wanted, didn't want what they got, and didn't find out what they had until it was too late. Amen. You heard about the guy who loved this woman for her voice. Her voice was the most outstanding thing in her life. She was a great opera singer, a mezzo-soprano. When she hit those high notes, he could feel his skin crawl. He said, I got to have that woman. I got to have that woman because she can sing like an angel. And sure enough, he dated her. They married. And on the wedding night, amen, she began to get ready to, you know, to put on her nightgown. And she took off her prosthetic leg, and she took her teeth out and put them in a glass, and she took off her false eyelashes and put them in a little thing here. Amen. And as she began to go through all of this, this guy was taken back more and more and more, and he says, sing, woman, sing. Some things singing just won't make up for. Let me tell you about our God today. He's looking for truth in the inward parts. Man looks on the outward appearance, and we think that we can offer something to God that men look at as very, very pleasing. But God said, I look beyond that. Yes. If any man give, don't let him give out of necessity. Don't let him give grudgingly. Amen. Some people are threatened into giving even in an offering. Threatened into it. I heard most of my church life, if you don't give, God's going to get His. That car you like so good, wait till you see it when God's done with that sucker. Can you say amen? Wait till God mashes you down, squishes you between His toes. Amen. He'll get His. He'll get His. Listen, when you pay an auto shop for your old beat up car tore up, God isn't getting it. God isn't getting it until it comes from a willing heart. He actually don't even want it until it comes from a willing heart. Amen. Now we'll take it. But I'm talking about Him blessing you for it. Amen. Amen. Someone said, God loves a cheerful giver, but He will accept. Well, He really won't. That's a cute little saying, but He really doesn't. There are instances all through the Old Testament where they were going through the ritual, but they were not doing it from the heart, and God was rejecting it. He prescribed what they were doing. They were doing according to prescription, but He was flat rejecting it because it wasn't coming from a willing heart. If my wife doesn't love me from her heart, her staying with me because of her Christian commitment, if I discover that, I don't really have a marriage. I have a situation here that looks like a marriage, but it really isn't. Listen, don't ever believe for one minute that God wants obedience just because of some kind of legal, biblical-based commitment. He wants us to love Him enough and appreciate Him enough, to devote to Him enough, to serve Him from the heart. Because it's qualified or disqualified according to the attitude and the atmosphere of the heart. Amen? So if it's not filled with gratitude and thanksgiving, God said, I do not accept it. In fact, I flat reject it. So there's a scripture that says, let me finish this. God doesn't want us, the Bible said, if any man give, don't let him do it grudgingly nor out of necessity, but willingly, because the Lord loves a cheerful giver. That's not just about what you put in the offering plate. That's about what you place upon his altar. That's about your life. Can you say amen? It's about your life. God wants somebody to serve him because they love him enough, appreciate him enough, honor him enough, feel that he's worth enough to give ourselves away to. That's why Paul said, I want to stimulate this willing giving. Everybody say willing giving. I want to stimulate it by what he's done at the cross for you. We're getting ready to celebrate what Jesus did at the cross to commemorate it in Holy Communion. And you know what the Bible said? It said, I beseech you. Romans 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, before I ask anything of you, I want you to recognize what you have when Jesus died for you at the cross. Yes. Can you say amen? I beseech you by what? By the legal demands of our denominational structure. I beseech you by the duty that you should have to the God that created you. No, it's the God that loved you, the God that went to the cross, the God that died for you, the God that suffered in your place. I beseech you by his mercy that you offer yourself. Here's that willing sacrifice. Amen? Here's that cheerful giver. Giving more than just an offering. Oh, have you ever found out if God has your heart, it somehow is attached to your wallet? There's some kind of something is run from here to here. Can you say amen? But if God doesn't have your heart, he won't have your wallet. I'm not preaching about that kind of giving. I'm preaching about this kind of giving. But the wonderful thing about this kind of giving, when it really gets right, he has everything else in place. Everything just falls into place. The kingdom becomes first. And when the kingdom is first, what happens? Amen. Everything is going to be added to you that you need. Everything that pertains to life and godliness, God can transmit it to you, transfer it to you, bless you with it. Amen. And it's a joy then to serve him instead of a job. It's not an imposition to serve him. It's a privilege. My wife this morning talked about the privilege. On the way to church as she prayed over this audience, this congregation, and this service today. What a privilege it is to serve you, Lord. Can you say amen? I feel honored and privileged. I meet with ministers and some ministers at a general meeting that we had came from very huge churches. But then the rest of us are pastor community churches. And I happen to be ministering with a minister who is pastoring about 40 people. And I'm grateful to see his commitment to put his best foot forward for the Lord and do what he can for Jesus Christ. All of us want our ministry to grow. But that's not going to stop us from recognizing the presence of God and the importance of our gathering together in his name. Can you say amen? We're here in Jesus' name. Oh, by the way, ministry isn't going to stay here. It isn't staying here. These services are going out over the airways, and God is sending it where he wants it to go. Praise God. Hallelujah. So this is not only the Holy Church of God where we meet and are blessed. This is also the headquarters for a global ministry. How do you know it's global? Because it goes to Australia. It goes to the United Kingdom. We even got a hit from Borneo. Everybody say Borneo. I never dreamed I would preach in Borneo. Amen? But God, it was part of God's dream, God's purpose, God's vision. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody downloaded a sermon or came to our website where they could have in Borneo. That is incredible to me. That just takes me back. Hallelujah. God is gracious today. We exalt Jesus. We love him. We serve him because we love him. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, I invoke you by the mercies of God, amen, that you would offer yourself freely unto him. Offer your body a living sacrifice. Freely you receive, freely give. Amen. And be not conformed to this world. Don't let the world press you into its mold. Everybody knows what the world's mold is like. It's self-seeking, self-exalting, everything around self-love, everything revolves around you. You're the nucleus, and everything revolves around you. In God's kingdom, all of that goes out the window. Amen. The first prerequisite for following Christ is what? Self-denial, not self-indulgence. Everybody say self-denial. The moment people hear that, a big negative goes up. They see this huge negative. Something's going to be taken from me that I really need to be fulfilled in life. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Following Jesus doesn't take from you. It allows God to pour in you. Can you say amen? Amen. Somebody said, every time I pour out, God pours in. The difference is God has a bigger dipper. Amen. So he pours in more than I can pour out. In a very real sense, you cannot outgive God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, because he's got the bigger dipper. Amen. And it's better, Christ said. It's better. It's better. This does not detract from you for the joy that was set before him. It's better to give than it is to receive. Praise God. I've met a lot of pastors that were complaining and burnt out and beat up and beat down. But I have never met a missionary that way. Never met a missionary who has put it all on the line for Jesus that wasn't filled with joy and thanksgiving. Can you say amen? Because it's better to give than it is to receive. Amen? It's better. It's better. Heard a preacher say one time, this is why it's better. And he got off on his big revelation. It was completely wrong, and he claimed it. He shouldn't have claimed it as his big revelation. He said, the Lord showed me what that meant. And this is a guy that has a national TV broadcast and hundreds of thousands that watch it and several, 8,000 in his church every Sunday. He said, the reason it's better to give than receive is through giving that you get. So that's how you get. So see, that's self-indulgence. They that are of the flesh do what? Mind the things of the flesh. But they that are of the Spirit, mind the things of the Spirit. And I thought, the man is leading a huge congregation. He don't have a clue. Amen. This is not what Jesus' life and ministry represented. Amen. He didn't give so he could get in the immediate sense that he could indulge himself with. He gave so in the eternal sense he could have the joy of seeing something of substance that'll last forever, not something that's going to pass away. My wife and I were talking about how life is passing so quickly. Amen. All of our family members are up in the 80s and 90s, and they're getting ready to pass on. And guess where we're going to do as they step up? How many know when they step up, that last rung of the ladder, where that's going to leave us? Amen. We step up. Can you say amen? And there's nowhere for us to go but there from here once we take that next step. Once my dad's gone, I'm the patriarch of our family. Once her mother's gone, she's the matriarch of her family. Amen. Just like this lady right here. She had to step up. Now, she don't look like she's on the top rung. She looks so nice this morning. She don't look like she's ready to just fly away, but... Amen. Well, I mean, you know, I don't mean you're not an angel. I just meant, you know, you don't look like you're on your last legs. Look like you go to North Florida a few more times and shopping a time or two. Can you say amen? Go to the mall a few more trips. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. But we're all stepping up. Hallelujah. Time is passing. I want to leave a legacy. I want to do something of substance for the Lord. I'm not trying to evoke an emotional response from you. I've seen it. And I know it don't last. How many people in here have ever really got a blessing? How many people have found out that if you're going to walk this thing out, you're going to need something more than just that blessing? As good as it is. You're going to need a devotion to God that is not born out of the emotional high of feeling his presence. You're going to need a devotion based on a deep and mature understanding and appreciation for what he really did for you at the cross, until every time you focus on it, every time you think about it, your heart melts before him and you offer your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. If it isn't offered from that kind of heart, you will never carry out your commitments. Without that devotion to back it up, you will never walk it out in your life. Paul said you did run good for a while. Emotion can get you bursting out of the gate, but it can't take you for the long run. Can you say amen? You can come out of the gate like nobody can beat you. Amen? But this is not a wind sprint. This is not the 50-yard dash or the 100-yard dash. This, in fact, is an endurance race. You say, Brother Venable, how long is the course? As long as you live, you got to run. Amen. Amen? As long as you live, you got to run. Not timidly drag along, but run the race that is set before you. This morning in South Africa, I know something that happened. This very morning, whenever the dawn breaks in South Africa, an antelope is going to wake up ready to run. Amen? And a lion is going to wake up ready to run. Both of them going to wake up ready to run. You know why? Because if the lion doesn't catch the antelope, he's going to die of hunger. And if the antelope don't outrun the lion, he's just going to die. Can you say amen? But both of them woke up this morning ready to run. And Paul said, if you're going to run this race, and you've got to run it to the end, they that endure till the end shall be saved. The same shall be saved. Amen? Run with patience the race that is set before you. Lay aside what? Every sin and weight that does so easily beset you. One of the great besetting sins is ungratefulness and unthankfulness. It hinders us from offering ourselves in totality to God. It hinders from God from filling us with the Holy Spirit without measure. That you need to run this race, amen, with patience. Praise God. With perseverance. Everybody say with perseverance. Hallelujah. All right, listen to me carefully. If we don't have and cultivate that attitude and keep it before us, we're going to be doing things for other reasons. There are people receiving offerings, pushing buttons, emotional buttons to stimulate giving today. Amen. And people see cars. They don't see the cross and Jesus dying. The image they're getting is cars and dollar signs. They're stimulating people with shiny cars, dollar signs, and diamond rings to give. That is the stimulus for giving. The problem is, amen, you can't give to God with that attitude. Even though he may bless you and does bless you. How many's ever been blessed with a vehicle that you didn't have to have pushed off from church? I remember Jimmy Swaggart years ago said he preached at a church, and every night, this man asked for them to come out, him and some of the brethren, to push the car off. He didn't have jumper cables, and so nobody else had jumper cables, so they had to push it. It was one of those old stick shifts that you put in one of the gears and you push it and pop the clutch and hope it'll start. And they said they did it for 5 nights. And he said finally on the fifth night, when they went out to push the car off, said the guy was so thankful to have the car, he was saying, Lord, I thank you for this old car anyway. Hallelujah. Thank you for this old car. And they went to pushing on it, and Jimmy said, I couldn't help it. I lost my Thanksgiving attitude because my back was starting to hurt. Amen. You can get herniated. You can do a lot of things pushing old cars around. Amen. And he said that guy had just got through saying, Lord, I thank you for giving me this car anyway. And he said, well, if the Lord gave it to you, I wish he would start it for you. Can you say it? He was just tired pushing. You can move out of Thanksgiving real quick. Can you say amen? It's so easy to lapse. Anybody here ever lapsed back? Amen. I come into congregations that have so much to be thankful for. You say, Brother Bill, you don't know what I just got through facing. Well, see, the focus has got to be off Jesus if it's on that. Can you say amen? You can't look in two directions at the same time. You can't be looking at the mess you think your life's in and the goodness of God that has given his son on the cross for you. Listen, it don't matter what is happening. It's not that it's inconsequential, but listen, in the grand scheme of things, we serve a God, amen, who loved you enough to give his own son for you, committed himself to you in covenant love, and said, I am able to take that mess and make it work for good if you will acknowledge me, trust me, love me, and give me thanks in spite of it all. Can you say amen? I can bring good out of your mess if you'll trust me. But I can't do it while you complain and are distracted. Amen. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You've got to cultivate a thankful heart in order to do that. That's why this service is to help with that process. This is the Eucharisto. This is the Eucharist. This is a thanksgiving service. If you take the thanks from it, nothing we do with that bread and nothing we do with that juice is going to be of any significance to God or to you. But if you lace it and fill it with thanksgiving, then God qualifies all of this as a spiritual sacrifice. And He will bless you with a kindled heart, flaming again with love for Him. Can you say amen? Devotion to Him. And to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Him is not a negative. It's a privilege. It's an opportunity to express our gratitude and say, Lord, You mean more to me than anything this world can give me, anything this world can offer. Can you say amen? That's devotion. And devotion is different from emotion. Now, the Bible said, serve the Lord with gladness, all your lands. And let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. That's emotion. That's emotion. Gladness is an emotion. What happens when the emotion gives way to the pressures of life, the problems and circumstances of life, the weaknesses of your own flesh? Amen. If there's not devotion to gird you up, you're going to be like those that took off with Paul. How many altar services have we seen when people would hit those altars, dance, shout, cry, weep, moan? We got it. But how many know you don't live in the euphoric moment of experiencing the anointing at that altar? You have to walk through that door and live in that fallen world out there, in this thing. Amen. Everybody say, my flesh. And how many know your flesh lives to indulge itself? That's why Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to start by denying yourself. Amen. One of the ways you deny yourself is you don't get the last word. In fact, you don't get a word at all. You don't even get a word. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Honesty. That's not a word. But only that that's good for edifying. If it don't build up, don't say it. Amen. You've got to be devoted to do that. Because the tongue is set on fire of hell. You don't believe it? I'm not going to go there. The tongue is an unruly evil. You can't rule it. You got to, but you can't in yourself. Amen? The tongue is an unruly evil, set on fire of hell. Who can tame it? In other words, who in and of themselves can deal with their own fallen nature? Nobody. Paul put it this way, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of sin? When I would do good, guess what? Evil presents itself. I used to put it this way, before I became a Christian, I went out looking for sin. Now that I've become a Christian, sin comes looking for me. I can honestly tell you, I've had more opportunities, solicitations to sin since I became a Christian than I did before I became a Christian. Because Satan aggressively wants to take me down and take me under. I have to sanctify myself every single day. And I have to do it out of devotion to the one who saved me. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh. Amen. And if I don't do it, the enemy somewhere is going to win. The Bible said if you don't bridle your tongue. By the way, when we're talking about your tongue, this thing right here. One lady said, you know, she said, I want to, Pastor, I have gossiped about everybody in the church. I've gossiped about you, your wife, and your family. Not to me. They never said that to me. But anyway, but I had something good to tell them if they had. But anyway, the lady said, and it happened to be a lady. It could be a man. If you think ladies are the only gossips, you've never worked where I worked. Amen. Men can get into this thing too. So she told them, I can't move this. Maybe I can just. Anyway, can you see the altar here? Listen. Amen. Don't tear the tree up. You can see the altar here. Well, this is a big church with a big altar. 30 foot of altar. And she said, Pastor, so I just wanted to confess to you this morning that I've gossiped about everybody in the church and I want to lay my tongue on the altar. And he stopped. You know where he's going. He looked. 30 foot altar. And he said, Ma'am, I just don't think it'll fit. I think it'll probably lap off the other side. It just, she was in bad shape. The tongue is an unruly evil. What that's really saying, how many know that your tongue just articulates words? How many know where those words are really coming from? Keep your, if you're going to bridle your tongue, you've got to learn to keep your heart. With what? All diligence. For out of it flow the issues of life. Come on. Listen. The tongue is like, which is the heart attitude, is like what? It's like a rudder on a huge ship. You can, the Queen Mary, was it the sister ship to the Queen Mary that was docked in Tampa? I wanted to tour that. One of the biggest ocean liners. There was a ship docked here, some big, now even some of the cruise ships come in here. It couldn't bring it in. It was too big. It went to Miami. Yeah, went to Miami. If you stood on one end and you could view or a narrow view of the length of that ship, the weight of that ship, the girth of that ship, something that is still amazing to me is that entire ship has something on, it's quite large beside of me, but compared to the ship, it's little. It seems so infinitesimal and insignificant compared to that grand size of that great ship, and it's called a rudder. But one little turn of that rudder will turn this entire ship. Can you say amen? You don't like where your life is going? Check the setting of your rudder. Can you say amen? Check the setting of your rudder. The Bible said this, which is really this heart attitude, is like the rudder on a ship. Find out, listen to yourself all week. Monitor yourself. When my son lived upstairs, when he was my dad's caretaker, they took a baby monitor and put downstairs so they could listen to what he said, so he could say, hey, I need something, and they could hear him. And they had this baby monitor to listen to my dad. Now, he's just right there on my back porch. I don't need a baby monitor. But wouldn't it be something to have one of these voice recorders? And just every time you talk on the phone, click it on. So that when you're done talking on the phone, you could listen to what you said. Every single word. Oh, by the way, if you think that's insignificant, the Bible said in the day of judgment, you're going to account for every idle word. Every one. God's a stickler about it. Every idle word. Every one you'll be accounted for. What if we had secretly bugged somebody's house in here? Amen? The coach talks about your game face. You know what I'm seeing? I'm not, and the drill instructor says, give me your war face. You know what pastors see on Sunday morning? We see your church face. I'm not seeing the real you. Your husband, your wife, your children, your boss, they get a dose of the real you. Amen? Amen? How many know there is a real you? This is not just the real us all the time. I want it to be the real me 24/7. But I have to bridle. If you don't bridle your tongue, let me tell you about all your so-called devotion, all your religious practices. If the heart attitude is wrong, if gratitude doesn't bring you to devotion, and devotion doesn't bring you to discipline. And by the way, it's not real devotion unless it brings us to discipline. You can't say, oh, how I love the Lord, but oh, how I hate you. Can you say amen? You can't say that. Amen. Why? Because bitter. I didn't mean that, sir. I love you. Everybody in this church is bigger than me. Amen. I started to look for an exception, but I can't find one. Amen. Listen to me. Amen. Bitter and sweet water doesn't flow from the same fountain. We're so good at singing the songs of Zion. Amen. We're not very good. Amen. At always speaking those words that will build up and not tear down. Amen. When we're irritated, when we forget gratitude. When we forget gratitude, we get in the wrong attitude. Can you say amen? And listen to me. This is vital to victory today. If you don't bridle your tongue, your whole religion is vain. Amen. If you don't learn how to use that rudder. I'm not talking about your words having the power in and of themselves, as some people teach this. Words are a product of your heart. The abundance of the heart. Come on, listen to me. Amen. Let's don't play this game anymore. Amen. If there's bitterness in your heart, it's going to pour out your mouth. If there's love in your heart, it's going to pour out your mouth. Every time you open your mouth, you let people look into your heart. Amen. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's why some people get off on the material and they can't get off of it like a broken record. I know they don't have a spiritual bone in them. They've missed the mark. Amen. They have nothing to say to me because they've lost sight of the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not something you indulge yourself in for self-indulgence. Amen. But it's righteousness. It's peace. And it's joy in the Holy Ghost. There's nothing you can indulge yourself in that takes the place of that joy. There's nothing you can indulge yourself in that takes the place of that peace within. Michael Jackson indulged himself with everything he could find, but he had no peace within. Can you say amen? Elvis indulged himself with everything that the flesh could possibly design and desire, but he had no peace within. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Paul gave up. He counted it as but dung that he might have Christ, and he was filled with peace within. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. The tongue is an unruly evil set on fire of hell. No man can tame it. Well, how do you handle something no man can tame? That's why. It's not just, listen, that's why God gave you the Holy Spirit. That's why you have a paraclete. One called alongside to do something very specific in your life and mine to help. Then just say amen. How many believe with God's help we can do all things through Christ? Amen. Because of what He's given us in terms of spiritual resources. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You can't win this thing. Your emotions are useless on the spiritual battlefield. Amen? How many know? Everybody's got a goat again. I just want to go back to the goat thing. Everybody that's got a goat, raise your hand. I'm talking about got flesh to deal with. I didn't mean it the house. It's okay. I know it's hard to get him mow the yard, but you didn't have to buy that goat. Oh, smelly goat to eat. I'm kidding. Amen. Goat will mow your yard for you, buddy, if you feed him. Well, now, I know you got a goat, don't you? You don't even have a goat? You got all them critters and no goat? Get yourself a goat, girl. There's no need for you to be pushing no lawnmower with all them other critters. Everybody in here has an emotional button. Satan knows exactly where your goat is tied. He can get your goat. Unless we get disciplines developed out of devotion, he can get your goat anytime he wants it. It doesn't matter how high you shout, he knows how to bring you down. He knows exactly. And he's got agents, and some of them don't even know it. Some of Christians act in his behalf. I used to get phone calls from Christians, and I would be having this wonderful day in the Lord. We had this wonderful Sunday. Oh, I got up on Monday morning saying, victory, victory shall be mine. Oh, by the way, if you ever sing that song, there's a biblical truth in it. How does this victory work? Self-discipline. Can you say amen? Hold my peace and do what? And let the Lord fight my battle. Victory, victory shall be mine. Amen. Can you say amen? Try holding your peace. And without the Holy Spirit and you yielding to Him out of devotion to Jesus, you won't do it. You will bless God with this thing. And then you'll get home and curse men. And he says, bitter and sweet water don't flow from the same fountain. There's two fountains in you. There's a fountain flowing out of your spirit. There's a fountain called the flesh. You got to dam one up and turn the other one loose. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Amen. Try saying amen. Amen. All right, listen to me carefully. When you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, there is, it's not always immediate, but there's an initial evidence. What is the initial evidence that now the Holy Ghost is controlling you instead of you just trying to be in control? Tongue. What is the first part of your being, your outward being, that reflects what is taking place within you? Amen. God has a hold of your tongue instead of you. Can you say amen? Because we speak in tongues as who gives the utterance? As you, listen, some people tried to do it to satisfy people, to become part of the spiritual elite. They just did it. They just said some gibberish because people were wanting people to get the Holy Ghost, but we wouldn't let them get the Holy Ghost. They were trying to give them the Holy Ghost. And they were trying to teach them how to speak in other tongues by getting them to say some syllables over again. And believe me, you're not going to have victory just because you say 15 times in a row, come tie my bow tie. Can you say, I'm talking about come tie my bow tie. There used to be people actually try to get people the Holy Ghost by saying, say after me, come on, you can do it. You can do it. Come tie my bow tie, come tie my bow tie, come tie my bow tie, come tie my bow tie. How many of you want else to say, she sells seashells by the seashore? Can you say amen? Or whatever else you want to say. If the Spirit don't give utterance, he's not in control. If he's not in control, you're in control. If you're in control, amen, there's no victory. Even though you want it in your spirit, when that I would do, I find myself not doing, and what I don't want to do, I find myself doing, Paul said. I can't get it right without God's help, but thank God I've got God's help. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Somebody give him praise today. I don't want to hear emotional enthusiasm unless there's consistent praise and consistent living to back it up. Because it just don't last. And a guy come back to church from the laughing revival. He got into holy laughter. I'm not qualifying or disqualifying. I'm talking about what happened to him. He come back wanting everybody to just laugh. He said, I'm, he was in la la land. Thing of it is, well, somewhere anyway, it was the laughing revival. That's all. I'm not qualifying it. I'm not disqualifying it. I'm just saying you got to do more than get a touch from God. You got to be devoted to him, and that involves the cross where Jesus died. It involves the price that was paid. It involves your assessment of the value of having him take your place. Is that worth holding your tongue so he can be truly the Lord of your life? Is it worth it? Is he worth it? Is the blood worth it? Is the cross worth it? I'm talking about devotion. I've seen emotion. I'm not impressed. I'm a wait and see preacher. You can tell me anything about your commitments this morning. I'm going to wait and see. Because time is going to tell. Not what you say this morning or what you feel this morning, but time. This is an endurance race. Lay aside. Takes devotion. Every sin and the weight, every weight and sin that does so easily beset you, and run with perseverance the race that is set before you. Consider him. This is where your focus has to stay. The next verse says, consider him. You don't look at the end of the race or how far it is or how tough it is. You look straight up to the cross and consider him that suffered such a great contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you become weary and faint in your own mind. When you quit considering him, guess who you're going to be considering? You. Guess what happens when you consider you? Amen. You get the poor old me's. You justify every bad attitude. But as long as you consider him, you do not justify bad attitudes. You have a praise. You have a thanks for God no matter what is happening, because God is your Savior. Jesus went to the cross for you. No, nothing, none of that has changed because of the events that touch your life at a given time. There is full reason to praise Him. And if you will order your conversation aright, Psalm 50 says you're going to see the salvation of the Lord. Can you say amen? Whoso offers praise gives me glory. And whoever's devoted enough to do it consistently is going to see God come through again and again and again and again. Can you say amen? Now, back to the voice recorder. If I had a voice recorder of every word I spoke the entire week, would there be anything I might want to edit? You think there's anything you might want to edit?
Oh, yeah.
Edit out?
Yes, sir.
I love computers in this sense. You type it in, you see something wrong, you push delete or backspace, and you fix it. Some of you have been so precious. You type in something out of your emotion. You read it and think about your devotion, and you delete the whole thing. Because you know something. Once you press send, you can apologize, but you can't get it back. Once you press, see, and every time you open your mouth, you're pressing send. Amen? You press send. And sometimes we ought to be pressing delete. And then stop and think before we speak. Be slow to anger, slow to speak. Can you say amen? Put your heart in check is what it say. Amen? Yeah. A devotion check. Put your heart in check. Keep your heart. Amen. Yeah, that's it. Keep your heart with all diligence. Why? Because, listen, that attitude, not just the words. You got to understand. There are people with the wrong heart saying right words. There are people that don't love you telling you they love you. And that don't make them love you. The heart determines that. Can you say amen? So when we're talking about the tongue, we're talking about a member that reflects something going on in the heart. So you can test your heart. The heart is desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? You'll know it by listening to what you're saying. Because the abundance of the heart, the what? Now you've got a clear view of what's truly in the heart. I can say I love this whole congregation. Everybody. I just want to have a big group hug on Sunday. But I have something against Mike. Everybody but Mike. But I wouldn't say that. I say I love all of you but Mike in my heart. But Mike. I really love all of you. But Mike, I got an issue with. I'm not being... And listen. When I get home and start talking about Mike to her, then I know what's truly in my heart. The heart's desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Nobody can know it. But there's a way to discover it, and that is to listen to what you're saying. Listen to what you're saying. Because the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I can sit in a pastor's meeting. I can tell the pastors that are discouraged. Amen. Not just talking over issues we need to pray about, but deeply discouraged because it begins to just roll out. And it's okay because we need to deal with discouragement instead of conceal it. And the thing about pastors' meetings is you can't tell your congregations. Well, I tell you sometimes that I'm fighting a real battle with discouragement. I have you pray for me. Amen. But some people lose respect because they want the man on top of the mountain to be above it all. Honey, there's nobody above it all. We're all sheep. We're all sheep. If I never experienced discouragement, there's no way I could help you through those valleys. It's going through it with God and coming up out of that valley that gives me the right to stand in this pulpit and tell you how to do it. It's not never being discouraged, never being fearful. It's defeating those foes, praise God. Hallelujah. And defeating it in my weak flesh just like you can defeat it in spite of your weak flesh. No man can tame the tongue. But God has given us the Holy Spirit. And He's not just here to give you a liver shiver to boost your emotions or supercharge your emotions, but to deepen your devotion so you can keep commitments to Christ. Hallowed the love of God that brings that devotion. What does He do? He just pours it on. He sheds it abroad in our hearts so our hearts melt. Amen. There's one thing about you getting a spiritual high. There's another thing about you melting before God. Can you say, and then, not my will, but yours be done. I'll deny myself, take up my cross, and gladly follow you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Devotion. I used to think we had the greatest service ever was when I saw an immediate emotional response. When everybody just went, hallelujah! I thought, we got it! I can't wait till next week to go another step forward. By next week, it looked like we hadn't even taken the first step. Why? Because emotion. John Starnes. Anybody ever heard John Starnes sing? He used to be a nightclub entertainer. He got saved, gave his talent to the Lord. John really is a good worshipful singer. But some Pentecostals wanted him to be more animated. They wanted to get in it. And John defended that when someone, several letters come in, why aren't you more animated? By the way, my animation won't make you devoted either. My overflow into you is not going to make you committed to him. It's got to come from your heart. It's got to come from your heart. So John answered this way. He said, I know how to solicit an emotional response from an audience, because my past life was an entertainer. He said, when I sing, I am not trying to evoke emotion from the people, a reaction to my singing that'll make me feel great. He said, I'm wanting to see devotion to my King, devotion to my Lord, devotion to my God. Can you say amen? He said, I know the buttons to push to solicit emotion. But he said, I'm trying to do something for God here, something lasting. Everybody knows emotion won't last, but devotion will. Devotion will make Paul say, I'm ready to be offered up. I'm ready to be poured out to the very last. I love Christ that deeply. Love bears all things, believes all things, endures all things, never fails, and never ends. There's a consistency with love that emotion cannot offer. So he said, I've heard some of the old audios from some of those great speakers of old, and they were not necessarily eloquent, nor were they emotionally. You know, if you're wanting something to entertain you while they preach, it wouldn't be there. But if you listen to the Word of God, it's there. The substance is there. Everybody say, the abundance of the heart. Everybody say, the rudder of my life is the attitude of my heart. Amen. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it, I would be having this great day, and I would get a phone call from someone, some church person, and I would pick up the phone and say, Holy Church of God, Pastor Venable speaking. How are you today? Great. Oh, that's great. Oh, yeah, we did. We had a wonderful service Sunday. Sister Hoopendicker. Yeah, I remember her. I remember her. What did she say? Said that I was what? I did what? I didn't do what? And then what? And then Sister Brother Hornswoggler, what did he say? He said what? He said what? He said, you mean he ain't coming back no more? Said he'd never come back to this church? Well, why did he do that? Because Sister, oh, okay, oh, yeah, okay, well, yeah, I'll pray, yeah, we'll pray for him, yeah, maybe I need to give him a call, yeah, oh, man, I mean, it was so good 5 minutes ago, amen? Satan knows where I got my goat tied. And he says, I can get his goat. And I got somebody to help me get it. Amen? Amen? Some things I need to know, and there's some things I wish I didn't know. And I don't need to know because I can't do nothing about it anyway. How many know everybody didn't love Jesus? How many know if they didn't love Jesus, everybody ain't going to love you either? Get over it. I'm preaching to me right now. I wish I had a mirror. Get over it. Can you say amen? Get over it. Everybody's not going to love Brother Venable, but Jesus loves me. Hallelujah. Amen. See, that hasn't changed. People are fickle because of the flesh. I don't have a lot of confidence in people because I don't have confidence in my flesh. My confidence is in the Lord. Can you say amen? My confidence is the Lord in you. If it wasn't for the Lord in you, I wouldn't trust you just because you go to church. I've had some dealings with some church folk. I'm telling you right now. There's some people who got a higher understanding out there in the world. Amen. Christian Yellow Pages. Maybe so, maybe no. You won't find out until they come to work on something. And they give you the bill. Can you? Yeah, I've been ripped off. I've been ripped off by people that wanted to do us a favor. And
yeah.
Oh, dear Lord. Anyway, that's another whole thing. See, that's where my goat is tied. Get me thinking about all that junky stuff. God is looking for authenticity, something to qualify worship and devotion. The only thing that can produce devotion is not responding to a message on being devoted. It's responding to the one that died on the cross for you. Loving him enough to devote your life to him. I beseech you, brethren, this is to produce thanksgiving and gratitude. I beseech you by the mercies of God, in light of what he's done for you at the cross. We're stimulating giving today with shiny things. Diamonds, shiny cars, bank accounts. We stimulate giving for that. We don't have the whole person. We should be stimulating giving by what Paul used, the cross of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? You get the preaching of the cross out of it, and you start soliciting giving just for the self-indulgent, a material part of it alone. And don't get me wrong, God promises to materially bless giving, but he's soliciting obedience from the heart. Can you say amen? What about the missionary? What's in it for them? What's in it for the missionary that leaves their home, their land, their family, and goes to a foreign field to preach Christ and live to the standard of those people and eat beans and rice instead of prime rib and ride a dugout canoe into the Philippines instead of riding a pleasure cruise to the Bahamas and preaching along the way? Oh, it's really tough out here. Really tough out here. Amen. I'm roughing it for Jesus. Staying at a $5,000 suite of rooms in the Conrad Hilton. Amen? Roughing it for Christ. Well, what is stimulating that guy and that gal that lay down their life that others might know Jesus? What is stimulating their giving of themselves to that extent? Is it the shiny things that can pass away? Or is it the kingdom of God? Is it a love and devotion to Jesus Christ? If the shiny things that motivate giving now, amen, if that had been preached 100 years ago and people had bought into it, much of the world would be lost today. Hundreds of thousands of people would be lost without God today because people wouldn't leave the shiny things to tell somebody about Jesus. Can you say amen? When you stimulate giving by promoting and provoking self-indulgence, it is the antithesis of what Jesus taught if you're going to follow him. It begins with denying self-indulgence. Denying self doesn't leave a vacuum. Whatever you push back to please God, God pours in of himself. Jesus lived that self-sacrificing life, and the Bible said, listen, God gave him the Spirit without measure. Can you imagine being that Spirit-filled? That you were so empty of you, there was none of you. It was just all of him. Praise God. Is that emptiness? No, honey. That is fullness in the real, genuine sense of the word. Because they started talking in the natural, and they said, Lord, we have left all to follow you. And he didn't say they had still had shiny things. He just asked him a question, had a spiritual answer. He said, well, have you lacked anything? Well, wait a minute. We left everything. Did they have all of it at that time? No, they had left it. It was still behind them. But it said, have you? Do you feel a sense of lack, need, want, deprivation? No, we lack nothing. The joy, the peace, the power, the pleasure, the eternalness of this kingdom. The kingdom of God is like a treasure. But it's not like an earthly treasure, a heavenly treasure, a spiritual treasure. It's like a treasure hid in a field when a man finds it.
Hallelujah.
What does he do? He says, oh, my, I'm not giving up my shiny things for this kingdom stuff, this eternal stuff, this spiritual substance here, this intangible spiritual joy, intangible spiritual peace, intangible righteousness that gives me a comfort like nothing in the world can give. Oh, I'm not giving up my shiny things for that. No, when he really discovers what it truly is, he sells all that he has. And Paul put it this way, and the things I once counted gain to me, I count them as but dung. Everybody say dung. Dung. I don't know about you, but it's not hard for me to have an aversion to dung. Once it's qualified as dung, you don't have a problem with it anymore. Amen. $10 million to give up Jesus and what he's done for me on the cross, that's dung. No contest. Wouldn't sell Jesus for 10 billion, 10 trillion. Going to draw your last breath one day. It's going to be all gone. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than on riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands just to know that I'm held in his nail-pierced hands. Hallelujah. If we could stimulate the church to live for Jesus and to give for Jesus, I'm convinced God would take care of what you really need. Amen? And I'm convinced that whatever he gave you, you'd be happy with it if you have him in the right place in your life. God does with contentment is true riches. Great gain. Listen to me carefully about this heart thing. If you don't keep your heart, then it's the target of the enemy. If he can get bitterness in your heart, you can say, I love you, but deep inside there's this undoneness. There's this unrepentant. There's this something inside. Thanksgiving is something that's to be given consistently. It feeds praise. It feeds worship. It feeds devotion. Can you say amen? Corey Ten Boom in Robinsbrook concentration camp was having a real problem finding things to be thankful for. You lose your gratitude, it's going to change your attitude. Can you say amen? If the attitude is right, it's going to determine your outcome. Count it all joy. It may not feel joyous, seem joyous. It may not match the dictionary's definition of joy. Amen. But the Bible said when you really come under the gun, count it all joy. When that's attitude. That's, come on, that's an attitude. Count it. Reckon it to be joy. It's a mathematical term, how you assess it. Count it all joy. When you fall into diverse temptations, James, these people are coming under the gun. Heavy persecution was raining down on them. They could have given up. They could have given up and the gospel would have been stopped and stymied, but they didn't. They rejoiced. They praised God. Hallelujah. They served God. And the gospel got out in spite of heavy persecution. He said the way you can defeat this is count it joy. When you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any man lack wisdom on this particular issue, not general wisdom, but specific wisdom about trials and tests, let him ask of God that gives to all men. I'm giving it to you this morning. Can you say amen liberally and upbraideth not? But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. See, you got to acknowledge there is a God who sits in the heavens. There is a God who is able to subdue everything unto himself. There is a God who is able to take the good, bad, and the ugly in your life and turn it to good if you'll keep your attitude right. Keep your trust in him. Can you say amen? Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Because if you waver in this particular area, the Bible said you are like the waves of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. Let not this man expect to receive anything from God. What does that mean? That means the circumstances can change you at any given time. All Satan has to do is blow contrary winds. You set yourself to praise God and a contrary wind comes. Through circumstance or through a personal encounter. Can you say amen? Or some kind of conflict. And as soon as that contrary wind comes, you go with the wind. The rudder is shifted and the boat turns. Can you say amen? We got to stop the devil right at that level of the heart. The breastplate is for the most vulnerable part of you. Can you say amen? If an enemy wants to take you down with a deadly wound, he's not going to aim for your arm or your foot or your leg. You may bleed to death if he gets an artery, but if he wants a quick kill where you can't even fight back, you can't even come at him one more thrust, he's going to go for your heart. He wants to pierce the heart. So the breastplate is the part of armor that is to protect the most vulnerable part of you. And we need a breastplate of righteousness. That means we need a heart that is bent toward righteousness and a mindset that says serving Christ is more important to me than having my say or getting my way. Everybody say having my say or getting my way. When does Jesus become more important than your way and your say? When does Christ get that place in your life? When does he truly sit upon the throne? The abundance of the heart. This is not about your words. Your words match your heart perfectly. The real ones. The feigned ones. Remember the feigned love of the brethren, the put-on love? I don't get me wrong. I love people say, I love you. But it's what they do that convinces me. Nothing you say can convince me. Nothing you say can convince me. There are people who said they love me and done me the most harm I've ever been done. The world has never hurt me as bad as some people that said they'd love to be hurt me. Never. Nobody in the world out there has ever wanted to see me destroyed. So it's not what people say. Christ says don't love in word or in tongue. But in deed and in truth, everything we say has to be qualified by what's truly in our heart. Man looks on what? The outward appearance. God looks on the heart. Bible said when I went to my job and I did my job and I got a chance to walk this out. He said whatever you do, do it heartily. Unto God, not unto men. For you'll be rewarded of the Lord Christ. How many know, you know what they did to me because they knew I would do the job because I took that attitude? Did they appreciate me, try to take the load off of me because I did so much? No, they brought everything to me because they said, he'll get her done. And the people that he knew wouldn't get it done, instead of making them do it because they got the same salary, they were off the hook. I ain't even going to ask. Lazy daisy to do that. Can you say, man, lazy daisy ain't going to do it. I'm going to ask Rev to do it. He'll get her done. Yeah. My boss would come to me and said, Rev, we've got to get this done before the inspection. I thought, well, where's everybody else? There's three shifts. There's all these crews. Where is everybody else? But I didn't say it. I just did it. Because I'm going to be rewarded of who? Them? No, they'll reward me with more work. Amen. But I'm rewarded of the Lord Christ. Well, how did he do that, Brother Venable? Joy, peace, healing when I needed it so I could work. Praise God. Amen. I'm telling you, this is real. The Bible said, listen, and he said, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. And said, obey your masters and the Lord, for this is right. And don't do it from the mouth as a man pleaser. Have you ever seen them people around the job that hate the company and hate the boss, but they're always buttering the boss up? We know other names for them. I won't use them here. Don't even think them. Cleanse your mind. Cleanse your mind. Amen. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. You know those people. Amen. Nobody likes them, and because they're just as they got just as much angst as anybody else, but they want to go up in the company. They're always buttering up the boss with their mouth. But he said, not with eye service, literally looking like everything's all right, eye service, but from the heart. Really mean it. Do it from the heart. Everything is qualified or disqualified by the attitude and the atmosphere of your heart. Your words are meaningless to God unless they're attached to a devotion in the heart. Lord, I love you. Have you ever seen the sentimentality that comes over an audience when we sing the second time, the second verse? Oh, how I... And we get into that harmony. Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. And everybody sings it, and you can almost see the sentimentality and emotions begin to feel warm and fuzzy. But when you are personally offended, I am personally offended, I don't feel warm and fuzzy. Can you say amen? Amen? How about you? I don't feel warm and fuzzy. I feel mad and angry. Now I've got a choice. I can go with what I feel, or I can bring my body, buffet my body, and bring it into subjection. I've got a choice to make. I got a rudder. I can change my course. And if I keep changing my course from godliness to the flesh, from the lordship of Jesus to get in my way, guess what? I'm gonna be shipwrecked before long. I'm going to run on a sandbar. When they bring those ships into the harbor, in most places, I don't know how it is at Tampa Port, the guy that's in charge of the ship, when you start into that harbor, there's a special guy who knows exactly where that ship ought to be. And in some cases, they send him out on a boat before the ship comes in. He is going to take, whether he literally takes the helm or whether he gives the orders, he, not that captain, he is going to take charge of that ship. Amen? Because he is the special pilot. He knows. If you veer too much this way, you're going to run her aground. And honey, you do not want to take all of those thousands of tons and run it up onto the... Get it. You got a problem then. You run it this way, you're going to run aground. You got to keep it right where it's supposed to be, because the channel is only so wide to bring that big bad boy in. Amen? And so there has to be an acquiescence. There has to be a giving up of control to one who has done this so many times, they know exactly how to take it through those narrows. You know what the Holy Spirit is here for? So we can, on demand, when we want to get a blessing, turn him on? No, he's here to take you through those narrows, honey. Hallelujah. He's here for you to acquiesce to. When you bow to the lordship of Jesus Christ instead of your will and mine, a special pilot steps up and takes control of the helm. I said it this morning before I came in again. I do not want to drive anymore. Lord, I do not want to be in the back seat while you drive, because I'll be tempted to tell you how. Lord, please help me to get into the trunk where I belong. Come on, somebody give God praise in this room. I don't always understand what he's doing. I don't always appreciate it at the time. If I see him turning down that rocky road, I'm liable to say, no, Lord, turn right, not left. Put me in the trunk where I belong. I can enjoy the ride in the trunk. I'll put on some praise music. Amen. Ventilate it so I can get some air. Don't suffocate me in the trunk, but I'm going to make it comfortable. I'm going to take me a pillow. Can you say, man? I want to enjoy the ride. Maybe for the first time in my whole Christian life, I want to enjoy the ride. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. God knows how to drive this thing. He knows where he wants to take us. He knows what it's going to take to get us there. Hallelujah. Amen. And boy, sometimes right back there in the trunk in the dark, listening to my praise music, I can feel that old car bouncing up and down. Feel like it's kind of on a slope, kind of, Lord, Lord. But then I know, then I have to remind myself, who's driving this thing? Boy, am I glad I'm not driving it on this road. Can you say amen? I'm glad the Lord is in control. Praise God. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Praise God. I've driven enough. I used to preach, oh, don't tell me how to run the church. I'm driving this bus. I'm driving the bus. Boy, I could see myself up there in the driver's seat of the bus. I'm telling you, I thought, my driving the bus, dear Lord in heaven, amen. I don't want to drive the bus no more. Can you say amen? I want Jesus to take the helm. We used to have those stickers. We changed them. God is my co-pilot. I'm the pilot. He helps me. No. They changed that now. And now there's a new bumper sticker out. And said, God is the pilot. I'm the co-pilot. And then they changed that. We're kind of progressing in an understanding. God is the pilot. And there's no me at all anywhere. He's doing it. Either he's the head of the church, or I'm trying to fill a position that I can never step into those great shoes. Christ is the head of this church. Where he's able to take it is entirely between him and all of us, including me. But he is the head of the church. Make no mistake about it. I'm an under-shepherd. I have responsibilities and accountability. But ultimately, Christ is the head of this church. And ultimately, the sons of God have got to be led by the Spirit of God. You've got to submit to him. And I beseech you, brethren, it's what this communion's all about. Quit thinking about yourself and start thinking about him on the cross. Consider him that suffered such a great contradiction against himself to get rid of your weariness and to get rid of your selfishness. I don't have to have my way. I want his way. He's worth it. He's worth serving. He's worth devotion. So I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, he's pointing directly, distinctly at Jesus on the cross, that you respond and reciprocate in love and in kind. Offer your body. There's that willingness. Has to come from a willing heart. Offer your body a living sacrifice. The thank offering in the Old Testament is now bleeding over into Holy Communion in the New. Because it was called the peace offering. It's in Leviticus. And when you brought the peace offering, it wasn't a prescribed thing at a given time. It wasn't because you had sinned. It's because your sin had been forgiven because of the offering of the sacrifice for sin. There was another offering, and it wasn't done prescribed. It had to come from a willing heart. God wanted this, not out of duty, but out of devotion. This was one that only devotion could qualify. The peace offering was a thank offering. And it was saying, Lord, I just want to thank you for forgiving my sin. I deserve judgment. You showed me mercy when I brought that little lamb to be slain and put my hands on it. When they put their hands on the scapegoat, took him to the wilderness. It was my sin, my sin, my sin. Lord, I want to show you gratitude. So they would bring an offering. That was specific. And the Bible said in Leviticus, you could do it as often as they wanted and any time they wanted. They could bring that offering before the Lord. And he would accept it and receive it as spiritual worship. Without the thank offering, what the choir sings is baloney. It's phony. God won't accept it, though they hit every note. It's not the song. It's not the words. It's this. It will be very impressive to people who look on. But God says man looks where? He looks at the outward. Where does God look? Here, where it matters. And where does he want us to see? Here, where it matters. Anoint your eyes with eye salve that you might see. Can you say amen? Amen. See what? See yourself as you are, not as you pretend to be. So he just wants the thank offering. So they started Holy Communion as often as you do it. See, it's a free will thing. It's not prescribed, is it? It's got to be an offering in thanks to the Lord for what he's done for us. We do it once a month. You could do it every day if you chose to. It's a thank offering to the Lord. But we do it collectively once a month. And we just stop to say thanks for the cross. And hopefully our hearts will melt again. And at some point in our life, devotion will begin to override emotion. And we will become the true servants of Jesus Christ. And God can count on us not to fail him when the pressure is on. Can you say amen? When the pressure is on. Hallelujah. He wants you just to love him back. for loving you today. Amen. That's what Holy Communion is. It's a thank offering. The Eucharist. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Jesus. Jesus, thank you for what you did at the cross. You deserve my everything. You deserve my all. Lord, I appreciate what you have done for me. Shiny things don't bring devotion. You can give them to your kids a whole lifetime and never gain their respect and love. Can you say amen? All the shiny things used to stimulate people to give is the wrong stimulant. We should give because of Calvary. And then if all the shiny things were taken, we would still not feel that anything had been subtracted from us that's necessary to life and godliness. He said, I'll never leave you. And when he's your everything, that's all you need. Can you say amen? Now, if he's just that little something, that little peripheral, then you're going to be grabbing everything else to fill that big hole. Tiger Woods is trying to fill a deep hole in his heart. And he's filling it with whatever he can find, because the fame, the beautiful lady, the wonderful cars, the mansion didn't fill the hole in his heart. I'm not here to condemn him. I'm here to tell you, in every heart, there's Christians trying to do that. They're not got all he has, but they think if they had it, they'd be all right. You're wrong. You don't need what he has. He needs what you're supposed to have. And when you really get it, God will set us in contrast to people like that and say, look at that marriage. Filled with Jesus in the heart. They're not trying to fill a hole. Christ is everything. And he's enough to bring fulfillment and happiness. My mug is on Facebook. And I get to see everybody else's book. And I don't even know if I can stay on Facebook. Some real, no telling who's going to end up. Anyway, it's Facebook. Everybody ends up on Facebook. I wanted to communicate with my grandchildren and my children. And I rarely see some of them. But there they are on Facebook. And there was a comment made from a church member that used to come on Facebook. My wife and I's picture standing there together. And she said, you both look like the epitome of happiness and joy. Looked like you belonged together. She was so glad to see us together and looked like we were actually enjoying being together after all of these years. I mean, it's one thing to be together. It's another thing to look like you're having fun still. I mean, just like Dale and... The pet name when you call the job. Larry. Leonard. Yeah, see, they got a code. If she wants to talk mushy to him at the job... She asked for Leonard. Be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. If anybody overhears a conversation, boy, somebody was on the company phone talking mushy stuff. Leonard and somebody, I don't know who. And they're all going around, well, where's that Leonard at anyway? We need to tell him, watch that phone stuff. I know where Leonard is. I know who Leonard is. I'm so happy to hear that sometimes Leonard talks mushy stuff on the phone. Amen. I didn't realize how much it means just to see somebody that says, life's been good to me. I'm happy with my wife. I'm happy with my lot in life. Only thing I want to see is more souls for Jesus. But me personally, I'm happy. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Wouldn't surprise me if God didn't just lavish me with stuff I didn't even ask for. Because I'm happy with what I've got. I'm not talking about more wives now. I'm just talking about... And Sister Venables, that'll bring her out of there. She went to answer the phone. There she is. I knew it. I knew it. I knew she was listening. Hallelujah. Let me run this by you. We'll quit and receive communion. Listen to me carefully. We've laughed. We've had some fun, but we've also got some serious issues. The attitude and atmosphere of your heart is going to determine the direction of your life. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The tongue is a rudder. It shows the heart attitude. And that turns this great ship. We decided to set our rudder this morning. When we came in here, we set the rudder before we got here. Can you say amen? We're not going to wait till it happens because I know where I want to go. Listen to me. I know where the rudder's supposed to be set. So I'm not just always adjusting. I want to set it and tie it down. Hallelujah. Are you saying it'll never come loose? It won't come loose unless I take it loose. Because he ain't going to take it loose if I set it where he wants it to be. Can you say amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. I want Jesus to be the special pilot. I want to be able to step away. Amen. Be no more the captain for just a little of that boat when you go through those narrows. I want Jesus to come on board as my special pilot. Actually, the Holy Spirit is here for that express purpose. Can you say amen? Everywhere it says spirit filled, forget about tongues, forget about falling out, forget about spiritual gifts and operations. Think of this, because this is how it's rendered everywhere. It's full of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. Anywhere that is in the whole New Testament, it's always rendered one way, filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit. What is the first part of you that is evidence that He now has control of your heart and your life? Tongues. He is now in control of this, which means He is in full control of the atmosphere of your heart. Can you say amen? And as long as He has control, what are we going to say? Everything that comes out of our mouth is going to be good for the building up. There will be nothing to tear down. And when we start tearing down and we hear it coming, we got to grab it. Amen? Why? Because we really do want Him to be in control. Let me finish with this. This Thanksgiving thing is really good. You've heard this before, but we'll close with this because this is Eucharistic morning. Corrie ten Boom in Ravensbrück concentration camp. The building they were in, the barrack they were in, was filled with lice and fleas. It was flea-ridden, and everything was just this constant aggravation. And she came to the point, she just was so... You know, God had blessed her to get a Bible through. She put a Bible. They were checking everybody. She prayed that God would hide the Bible. They stripped shirts and everything. They didn't find that Bible. She put in a sleeve or something of what she had on. And God had just got through blessing. But here they are with all this aggravation. Have you ever noticed after God blesses you, sometimes aggravations still come? Amen. And sometimes they come more than usual. Because Satan don't want you up there on that mountain praising God. Might attract people to Jesus. Last thing he wants is people to be attracted to Jesus. Can you say amen? So she's in there doing all this itching and getting so angry and questioning God. And she says, but here's that bringing that flesh under subjection. Here's that devotion overriding emotion. How many know scratching all those fleas and lice can upset you and make you not want to be thankful? She decided to give thanks. She said, Lord, you told me I must be thankful in all things. So, Lord, I thank you. I don't know why, but I thank you for these fleas and these lice. She said a few days later, she really poured the thanks to God because the guards were coming and taking women out to rape them, molest them. But they didn't take anyone out of her barracks because of the fleas and lice. Somebody give God praise in this. Hallelujah. How many would rather scratch the fleas than have something like that happen to you? Amen. Amen? God is still on the throne. And if we'll give Him His due, and we will give Him glory, and we will give thanks in all things for all things, God will come through just like He delivered her out of Ravensbrück and brought her through and gave her a witness and a testimony that touched her world in her time. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to receive the Eucharisto this morning. We're going to receive, amen, Holy Communion. We're going to have an opportunity to let our hearts melt for what Christ has done for us, or go through a religious ritual and go out there and do our thing like we're used to doing. This could be a life-changing event if you'll let it be. How many want it to be for Jesus Christ today? How many want to win this thing? Praise God. Run the race with patience that is set before you. Would you bow your head? I'm going to pray right here and right now, and we're going to serve you communion. Heavenly Father, I can't tame unsurrendered, unsubmitted flesh, and the flesh will never surrender nor submit. There's only one answer for it, and that is crucifixion. I can't do that by myself. You've given me the Holy Spirit so that I can follow you and not this fallen world, not its trends, not its attitudes, not its activities, but that I may follow you And Lord, my spirit has been changed. My spirit is willing. But Lord, you know my flesh and our flesh is weak. Holy Spirit, we want to be filled with and controlled by you. To where what we do and what we say and what we think is directed by you and not our flesh any longer, not this world about us, and not the tempter of our souls. Lord, we can't change ourselves, but you can change us. And we come to you bowed today and believing for that mighty change to come as we recognize that you are worth our everything. Thank you, Lord, for dying for me on that cross, that you might forgive me and help me now. And everyone said amen, amen. And amen. Amen. Would someone please serve us Holy Communion number 3.